Let's talk about this bullshit movie.
Let's talk about this movie.
You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show. Woo!
Welcome back to Cage Match. We're actually here 2 months in a row for the first time in, well, maybe ever.
Yeah, I think ever. Consistency. It's our New Year's resolution.
It's going to happen. We're back in a groove, or maybe first, maybe we're only, maybe it's not back. Maybe we're just in a groove for the first time.
We finally figured it out.
I wanted to make some notes for anybody listening that we've been playing with the format a little bit from the beginning. So if there's anything specifically that like you want to see or you love about it or you want us to change, we're open. We're kind of by the next couple months, I think we're going to really lock this down. So we want your input.
Don't talk to us. All right. Well, never mind. Don't tell us we're wrong.
All right, forget it. Don't tell us.
Don't talk to us ever again.
Normally we open up our podcast by drinking an alcoholic beverage, but, we'll just say there's some snafus today, and we're just drinking some really good coffee. Actually, Speakeasy Coffee.
Yeah,
who were at our event over at the rink a few months ago. They were fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good. Well, Justin put like mint in it.
I did.
It's really good.
So I have
it's my Jimmy Jam.
So if anybody knows Speakeasy Coffee, it's their traditional medium blend. But then I added a couple packs of mint tea into it when I made it in the French press, so it's got a minty flavor.
Yeah, I thought it would be disgusting, but it's really good.
Well,
it's the best endorsement you can get.
I mean, to be honest, that's kind of how I feel about hanging out with you. I think it's going to be disgusting, but it's usually pretty good. So.
I mean, it usually is disgusting.
No reason it can't be both.
Yeah, right. It's not mutually exclusive.
So with that in mind, we're going to talk about a movie.
It sucks.
Well, we'll get into that part. Before we get into the movie, I had some Nick Cage news I wanted to talk about because I know you're excited about Nick Cage news.
Yeah, lay it on me.
So we talked last time a little bit about how the pictures came out from Renfield, which you think looks ridiculous.
It looks so stupid.
The early references that Nick himself is making to his version of Dracula are, it's very Warhol-esque. I don't know what the hell he means.
Like pop art?
Yes. Well, that's exactly it. So he said, he literally did say he's kind of a pop art Dracula. Like, what does that
mean?
What
does that even mean?
I guess we'll have to find out.
That he's like brightly colored?
Well, some of the pictures he was kind of brightly colored, but I still don't get that as a reference to like, this is, because like when I think of Warhol Dracula, the other, before he explained in this little thing I read about he meant pop art.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the Warhol Frankenstein movie, which is literally softcore porn. Oh. And I was like, oh, well, I don't think we're going that
route. Is he doing porn?
I don't know if Nick Cage is
doing
porn.
Is he no longer a thespian?
I mean,
can you be a thespian if you're in porn?
I think a lot of 70s porn actors believed they were thespians. I don't know that they were, but they believed they were.
I could see that. There was a lot of, I feel like a lot more storyline in 70s porn.
They often refer to it as like golden age porn. Yeah. And it's definitely different than like, you know, Pornhub.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
Thank God. Pornhub's horrifying.
He also recently was in the news in the entertainment rags for saying he was very, his next role he really wants to focus, he wants to star in a musical.
Does he sing?
He probably does. I mean, I would be very surprised if he hasn't done stage work.
I feel like he would be so monotoned.
He might be. Or he might just be insane.
Yeah. I mean either way, it's a good show.
So, are you familiar with the National Treasure movies?
Yeah.
So, I've never seen them.
I've seen the first one. I haven't seen any other ones.
So, there's apparently a National Treasure TV show now. And I didn't know this.
Is there?
Yeah.
With Nick Cage?
No.
Oh.
It's a spin-off-like series, but apparently in the second season, which is about to be worked on, they're about to start filming, he's going to be doing a couple-episode arc as a cameo.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's intriguing. I don't know anything about the show, but...
I think it's a dumb movie about something that's stupid.
I mean, I agree with that. I mean, like, based on what I know about it...
super dumb concept.
Yeah, based on what I know about it, it's a dumb concept. That's why I haven't watched it.
It's like the millennial Indiana Jones.
I'd rather just watch the real Indiana Jones.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody would.
And my last bit of news, and maybe possibly a decision we'll have to make about what we want to do next month, but he has a new movie coming out in theaters next month called The Old Ways, or The Old Way, and it's apparently being referred to as a Western version of John Wick. So it's like a revenge, shoot-em-up killer thing, but if he is the Keanu in this movie,
he could never be.
Well, I agree with you on that, but he's that role, that John Wick type role.
Is it like Old West, or is it just like
it's
cowboy?
It's Old West. Yeah, it's Old West. But apparently, and I didn't know this, it's his first like starring role in a Western film.
Oh, really?
Which is crazy because he's been in a lot of movies. Yeah, it feels like Western something he would do.
He's been in 128,
and he's probably been in other.
Exactly.
I love that, you know. She's like, oh, we have to choose another one of these 128 movies. I'm sure he's probably been in other, but I guess he's never starred in a Western
movie. Oh, gotcha.
So I guess we'll have to see. But because that comes out in a few weeks, we might have to consider that as a...
yeah, we'll go see that. I mean, I would love to see him drop an accent for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, because he's so good at accents.
He's so good at them.
It's funny, as we're about to get into a movie where he... goes in and out of an accent again.
Truly.
Yet still doesn't have the most annoying accent in the movie, which is something I can't wait to get into. That was one of the things that my wife, when watching this movie with me, Brooke says, what is up with his voice? He keeps going in and out. And I was like, yeah, that's a ongoing thread of our podcast right now.
I feel like he's on so much cocaine in that movie too. I mean, we'll talk about
it. It's the early 90s, so probably.
Yeah, it's just... he just feels very coked.
So with that in mind, let's talk about Trapped in Paradise.
It's a holiday movie for the whole family.
Right. So this is what my thoughts when we were deciding what movie to watch. Really talented cast. It's got to be decent.
So good.
80s, 90s feel to like the box cover art, everything, which I kind of dig that vibe.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like Spies Like Us, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I look at it, and it, you know, the comedy, holiday backdrop seemed like a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong.
Yeah, it was so bad.
Yeah. So I'm going to read you the IMDb. It's one sentence. Residents of a friendly Pennsylvania town foil three brothers' plans to rob a bank on Christmas Eve. I mean, that is what happens. So I guess that's a good synopsis.
Can I read the first critic?
You can. I actually have that listed on here, too.
Loaded with talent, but borderline unwatchable. That is the best quote from that.
So if you go on to read the remaining part of that sentence, it then says, Trapped in Paradise will leave viewers feeling the first part of the title forgetting the rest. Oh, yeah. Trapped. I felt trapped.
Yeah. It was horrible.
Yeah. The critic score of this film is a 10.
So bad.
The audience score... only a 41, so it's not that good either.
Yeah.
And, I was surprised to see that it did make its budget back. But, I mean, I guess that makes sense because of the people in it and stuff like that. But, wow, I mean, I might be able to get you agree this time that he's not even the worst thing about the movie.
I know. That's what sucks. The whole movie sucked. And it sucks because there's so much that I wanted to love about it.
Right.
Like, I love John Lovitz.
Yeah.
He's like one of... Dana Carvey.
I love Dana Carvey.
Favorite.
But oh my God.
Oh my God.
So, all right. So, initial impressions, right? So, that's what we usually
sounded
start with
like
here.
Rickety fucking cricket the entire time. I could not.
Oh my God. Our initial impressions, obviously, we've already started to get there. They're not good.
Mm-mm.
We clearly, neither of us like this movie very much. Our initial impressions are not good. Ultimately, I gave this a 2.5 out of 5, and I'm jumping the gun on that, but I did on my Letterboxd because I did find things about it entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look back at it, I feel like I rated it too high. And that's funny because that's not even a good score. That's a, like, I didn't hate it score.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering, maybe I hated it. It was bad.
Yeah. I found myself the entire movie checking to see how much time was left on it. That's like literally every 2 seconds I would pull it up to see how much longer I had.
Yeah.
And I was like, how much of this movie can I skip without losing the plot? And I like couldn't figure out the formula, so I just had to watch it. And it just sucked. The entire time it sucked. I feel like I wasted my afternoon.
Yeah, it wasn't good. So I'm with you on that.
I wanted it to be good.
So we'll get into the very specifics about all the stuff that was bad. But before we do that, one of our segments we like to try to do, I mean, this is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough one. We call it Watch Your Fucking Mouth. and I don't even want you to watch your fucking mouth this time. But, you know, that's, for those who aren't familiar with the movie Face Off, that's a quote that Nick Cage says, and I just love that quote. And so I named this role reversal after Face Off, where you're forced to say a couple good things. Specifically, one of them has to be about Nick Cage. And I'm forced to say bad things. My job's really easy this month.
Yeah.
Like, really easy. But with that in mind, what good do you have to say about this movie?
It ended.
It did end.
So there was an end.
There was an end.
How
about a positive thing about Nick Cage? Is it just that he wasn't the worst thing about the movie? Because that is kind of a positive thing.
I liked his hair.
Oh, he does have pretty good hair in this movie.
He had pretty good hair. And I liked the mom.
Oh, yeah, she's entertaining. Yeah,
she reminded me of, like, all of my Italian grandaunts.
Fair. Yeah. Even in the way she's, like, forcing them to eat and all that. Yeah, I could see that.
But that's all I got. I have nothing else.
So, because I'm going to have a list of things to say bad about this movie, I'm going to almost just skip over it in this part. But I usually am supposed to be, like, the positive is about Nick Cage. And my big positive about Nick Cage in this movie, he's not the worst thing in the movie.
Yeah, he really isn't.
And with that, I'm going to get into the worst thing in the movie. Dana fucking Carvey.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
So, I think he's trying to do this, like, weird, like, dumb 1930s mobster thing where...
It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. And it's so fake. It's clearly a bit. Like, it would work for a skit. Like, right. It would work for, like, an improv skit. And it felt like he was doing an improv skit the entire movie.
At least he was committed to it.
I mean, he did not drop it.
And like, there's one part where I almost felt like he was about to drop it, and then he went running back, and I was like, oh, no, this is real.
He doesn't drop it.
This is how it, and like, I love Dana Carvey.
Yeah, I fucking love Dana Carvey.
He's so, like, from the moment he opens his mouth.
It's so irritating.
I just wanted to shoot him.
And his facial expressions, like, he looks like a Rick and Morty when they have that little, like, weird... saggy mouth, you know what I'm talking about? Like the droopy mouth.
So his just does that all the time.
Is like the entire time, and I can't look at his face. It bothers me the entire time. And he does sound like Rickety Cricket from It's Always Sunny. He's like so high pitched and irritating.
Yeah, I, you know, and what's funny is
are they brothers? How are they picked the three least like look-alike people, sound-alike people ever. Background people. How is John Lovitz related to Dana Carvey in real life?
And then also related to Nick Cage.
How would that work?
It wouldn't.
John Lovitz is Ashkenazi Jew.
Right. He doesn't even try to play it as he's the Italian, like the rest of the Furpos. They're clearly this Italian family.
Yeah.
He doesn't even try to play it though. He's John Lovitz. He's just playing John Lovitz.
Yeah.
If anything... he's toned down a little bit from, like, that way over the top John Lovitz. To a large extent, he's actually the most grounded thing in this film.
Yeah, but he's, like, so tan. Dana Carvey's so pale. Borderline blonde. And then there's fucking Nick Cage.
Yeah.
And none of them sound alike. None of them look alike.
The mom, either.
None of them look like the mom. And none of them sound alike. They all have different accents.
Yeah.
Not a single one of them sounds like they're from fucking New York.
No. Well, no. In fact, I forgot they were from New York until I read the description again. And I went, oh, yeah, they're from New York. Because, no, they don't sound like...
Yeah. They're all from California. So I looked in their background. So all the actors are originally born and raised in California, right?
Yeah.
Which surprised me because I thought Dana Carvey was Canadian. But...
oh, I did too.
They had like a clean slate to work with. They could have all agreed on a way to talk. But it's like, they were just like, you know what? Do what you want to do. Do what's crazy. Yeah. So it's like, it wasn't enough that they look nothing alike.
Right.
They never fucking address that they don't sound like each other at all.
And
it's not believable. They're not brothers.
All right. So if we're going to get into how poorly the logic of this film is or how bad it is, let me talk about Nick Cage's character. So he, in the beginning of the movie, he's the only one of the three of them that's not in jail, which to me, like, okay, he's going to be the good guy brother. That's the impression I get. It takes literally no convincing at all to make him a bad guy, too.
Truly.
And we go from him, like, kind of, like, against, you know, doing bad things and getting in trouble again to just straight up going with them along with their idea without any explanation of how he gets there. Like, he just suddenly is okay with doing bad things now.
But also the reverse, too. He's so easily, like, back to being, like, I want to be a good guy and give the money back to the church for Christmas. Like, without right. any convincing, without anything except for, here's a sweater, sir. Like, are you a criminal or are you a good guy? You fucking pick. There's, like, no fortitude to his character.
Right. Like, because in the very beginning of the movie, he finds that wallet.
Yeah.
Right. And he bumps into a guy. Guy drops a wallet. He like starts to walk away, turns around and picks up the wallet, and then you think he's gonna go after the guy and give it back, but then he looks and sees like
there's $800.
Yeah, there's $800 in it, and he's like, and then we find out he keeps it.
Yeah,
and then he goes to confessional to tell the priest about the money. And what's really weird about it though is like, so I guess we're supposed to think like he's like pulling back and forth, but like all that whole scene did for me is like make me less like no idea what he is.
Yeah, and he's not likable. Like no. At no point was his character likable. He was like very wishy-washy. He
It seemed like he had a good job, right? He
yeah,
was like,
right.
He was like the manager of a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah,
like
there was nothing to like about his character, and he was just all over the place. Like he was 100% on cocaine that entire time because he did the Nick Cage yelling thing. Like he was in the car talking about the girl that he liked, and he was just like, "I like her a lot. Do you know how long it's been since I had a girl's wall or picture in my wallet?"
Right.
And like screaming out of nowhere, and right. it's just like you were just on drugs, right. sir.
Yeah, I don't.
There's no consistency in his character. There's no character arc. And you know what really pissed me off about his character is like his love interest, who, by the way, for all you Gilmore Girl fans, is Sherry from Gilmore Girls.
She looked fun familiar fact. And I didn't know why. That's probably why, but yeah. I didn't watch it enough.
She's also
to know.
In Gossip Girl, but
I did watch the original one, not this weird like HBO, yeah. right?
XO Gossip Girl.
Yeah, I watched the whole series. I'm not going to pretend I didn't.
Yeah, she's in there too. But anyway, so what bothered me is their relationship is there was no development whatsoever.
No, not at all.
They spoke maybe 5 seconds or 5 sentences to each other. And then all of a sudden he was like, in dire love with her, and she was like so distraught because he made a bad decision and she like couldn't love him. And then the end where they just like make out and then he like moves in, like he doesn't get on the bus to go back home,
right?
Like so then he just like lives with her now. It made no sense. There was like there was no content to their relationship at all. There was no build up to their relationship. They literally spoke a couple of sentences to each other and then all of a sudden that they were in love.
Yeah.
So weak. It was such a weak plot line.
It was really weird. I guess, yeah. I'm having a hard time coming up with, like, defenses for this movie at all in my
it's
head.
So bad. The whole
so
thing's
so
I'm
bad. Realizing the other reason that she was familiar to me is, but she must have just looked too different. She's also, she's from Riverdale in Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah, she is in Riverdale.
Madchen Amek.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce her
name. Madchen.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's, what's her face's mom? Betty's mom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I did just recently, power through the final season of Riverdale, which was by far the worst season of Riverdale.
I haven't even started it, I can't.
It
got so bad.
Yeah, it's not good.
But that's for a Riverdale podcast.
Yeah, we'll be back with the Riverdale podcast, gosh, I needed some trash television, decided to pass through, because that's what it is. It's clearly trash television.
But, oh, yeah. You know. It's great.
So I want to come up with some things I liked about the movie, but I can't.
I mean,
like, but the thing is, like, when I was watching it, I was entertained at times. But, like, when I look back at it, I can't even think of, like, things that I want to like be like, oh, well, that was good. Like, John Lovitz wasn't horrible in the movie.
I think he was pretty funny. Well, yeah. He's naturally funny. Like, right. He's just a funny guy.
Like I said, I feel like he was actually more grounded and toned down than I'm used to him.
Yeah.
Which...
He was quiet.
I mean, maybe... It's weird that he was kind of, in a weird way, the straight man.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Cage is a straight man until he flips out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was kind of that back and forth. But we've come to get used to that, I think, with Nick. I think it's... Dana Carvey just really threw the whole balance
so
off
bad.
Really bad. In fact, I probably could have bought it if you replaced Dana Carvey with... Or just let Dana Carvey play it differently.
Yeah.
I probably could have bought this movie a lot differently. But he really... Like, every time his mouth opened, I was ready to just turn it off.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
And it also was, like, you had to pick... like one part of stupid to play. Like, so he had that stupid little accent and that goofy face that he made the entire time.
Sure.
But also, like, when he was stealing, he was doing it so obviously and clumsily. And I was like, you have to pick one part about him that's actually like smart and likable.
Sure.
To be able to play a full character that's likable. So like, either drop the voice and make him like a goofy criminal or make him a really good criminal that seems stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think he was very much trying to do this old archetype from old movies.
Yeah.
It just didn't fit in this movie.
Yeah, it was so bad.
And like you're saying, it would have probably worked when, you know, he's doing a sketch on SNL.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because it's 3 minutes long.
Yeah. Not an hour and 52 minutes.
Yeah, I can't believe that this movie was almost 2 hours long, too.
It was so long. It bothered me so much. You know what else bothered me? The holes in... The FBI being involved
right.
at one point, and then they all get caught, right? They're sure. all like getting interrogated. The entire town is in the room with them while they're getting interrogated by the fucking FBI. Why? Like, literally, like, grandmas are just sitting in the room, like, cheering and jeering. And I'm like, in what world would that ever happen? This is so fucking goofy. This is so weird. The FBI wouldn't sit there.
It is very realistic rural Pennsylvania.
In a lot. And that's the other thing, too. I was like, that is not rural Pennsylvania.
So
we know what rural Pennsylvania is like.
It's supposed to be Lancaster County, because it's supposed to be paradise.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I drive through paradise all the time.
Yeah, those people are fucking mean. Yeah, they're all mean. They're just a different kind of mean. They seem like they're nice in like those like rural towns.
Sure, sure, sure.
Because they have like homemade cookies and freshly churned butter and stuff like that. And they do like the simple things in life. But they are not nice people. They are all assholes, especially to outsiders from that town. That is not rural Pennsylvania. And also, it was filmed in Canada, which also pissed me off. Because I was like...
Could you have at least given the business to Pennsylvania?
Your whole movie's named after Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Just fucking film it in Pennsylvania.
So...
Stupid.
So I guess we're pretty wow. 2 months in a row, we feel very similarly about the movie.
I know we gotta figure out a movie.
We
have to find the best Nick Cage movie, like unequivocally, and do that one next. Because
I have some in mind.
I like winning, but this is too easy.
You're. I mean, you're straight easy. Up destroying me at this point. I mean, and the thing is, like, you know, Mandy. That we did last month, I remembered liking it, rewatched it, and was like, oh, I'm wrong. I don't actually like it that much. This time, I went in with no preconceived notion other than, oh, I like the cast. And I still come out going, oh, I like the cast, but boy, did they do a bad job.
Such a good cast, though.
It's crazy. It's crazy, like, that your three main characters can be, and I know you don't like Nick Cage, but, like, at least the other two are, like, kind of... 80s and 90s comedy geniuses in a lot of ways.
But also, like, the supporting actors, mm-hmm. they are all old Hollywood
stars. Oh,
yeah, stars.
Big time. Yeah, big time.
And, like, that was another thing that I was excited about because sometimes I see, like, certain names in movies and nobody knows who I'm talking about because the only movies that I've, like, been into were, like, old-timey movies.
Okay.
So I'm, like, catching up on new movies.
Sure.
But I saw all these names that I recognize from, like, old TV shows and old movies that I used to watch with my grandpa.
Okay.
And I got all excited, and they, like, made them do nothing. Like, they were, like, barely in it. They were just standing in the background. It was, like, such a disappointment. They could have done so many, like, goofy things with them. But...
So
here's the
crazy thing is that, like, so I'm thinking, well, maybe this guy, this director, George Gallo, maybe he's pretty good and maybe this is just an anomaly. So I looked up his movies, right? I don't know that there's a single movie that he's done that even interests me. Like, it's not that they're bad. I've never seen any of them because they're like, all right, so Trapped in Paradise. And then, like, as far as his the movies he's directed, I've either not heard of them or they're things like, Codename the Cleaner. Like, I have no desire to watch Codename the Cleaner with Cedric the Entertainer. Like, no offense to Cedric or nothing, but that just does nothing for me. So I guess this guy's just not for me. I mean, I guess that's where I'm at. Yeah, I saw one movie and I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
I don't really think he did much else, right?
So he has like 10 movies he directed and a bunch more that he's written or produced.
Mm-hmm.
But like literally nothing on his... So he apparently came up with the idea, the story behind 1995's Bad Boys, which I'm a huge fan of. But he didn't actually write the script or do anything else. So he got has a story credit. So like that's an action comedy I love. Like I love Martin Lawrence and Will Smith in that movie. I think it's a blast.
Yeah.
But everything else on his thing is either stuff I haven't heard of or I've heard of but had no interest in seeing.
Yeah.
So ultimately I think and this is really early. This is only the second movie he ever directed.
Yeah.
So
did he write it? Who wrote it?
He wrote it.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
Yeah, he wrote, produced, and directed it.
That's very upsetting.
So he failed on three levels.
Oh.
It's bad.
Yeah, it was just like not a good time. There was nothing redeeming about it. My ADHD was at an all-time high with this fucking movie. I was like, I had to clean my room like while I was watching it, or else I like could not sit there.
Yeah.
Because my mind was just like trying to pull away from it.
Yeah, I definitely played with my phone.
Yeah.
For chunks of this movie because I was trying to force myself to watch it and I was struggling.
Yeah. It's really bad.
Yeah. It was, Well, and I mean, we picked it because we were looking for a Nick Cage Christmas movie. It was like this and Family Man. And now I'm like, wow, maybe I should have watched Family Man.
Is Family Man, does that have good ratings?
No. I don't think it does either. I think it's him and Taya Leone, maybe. But either way, it's not particularly known, I think, as a good one either.
I feel like it's so hard to fuck up a Christmas movie.
But he's probably done it twice, it seems.
Yeah. But
maybe,
like,
maybe more.
That's like the thing, though. Like, the formula to Christmas movies, it's very easy. It's always the same thing. There's a sad backstory that's not so sad that it bums out the whole entire movie. There's an adventure that needs to happen. There's character development. You learn the true meaning of Christmas, and then you save the day. Really nothing much to it. That's why I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Okay.
I watch them all fucking, I am not embarrassed to say it. They're like visual quaaludes. It's the fucking best.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like, it's so hard to fuck up any Christmas movie, in my opinion.
Sure.
Like any fucking Christmas movie. They put Tim Allen in a Christmas movie and it worked.
I know.
Of all people.
Three of them.
Yeah. And it fucking worked.
Yeah. And he's such a piece of shit.
He's the biggest piece of shit of all time. And they just came out with another one.
Well, yeah. He's got a series now called The Santa Clauses. And I think it's about him trying to replace himself. He's retiring. I don't know. But I know I didn't watch it. But that's because of him, not because...
He has to get murdered for him to be able to
replace. It's actually probably...
That's the plot.
Yeah. It's probably actually legitimately fun, that show.
Yeah,
but
probably.
I won't watch it because I just can't support Tim Allen.
I know, but like that's like my whole point, though, is
right.
Like...
It's still good.
You could pick, like, Lindsay Lohan just did a Christmas movie on Netflix, got amazing ratings.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best Christmas movie, but like Lindsay fucking Lohan just did a Christmas movie after being off of the fucking planet for like the last decade.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
No, I mean, I guess I'm just going to leave it at that. I told you I gave it a 2.5 on my Letterboxd, but I'm going to actually roll that down to a 2 for the podcast here.
Because we'll do a 1.
You're going 1. So we have a 1.5 average. That's bad.
Where are we at?
Oh, I'm done caring.
Because
we're so low right now.
Yeah, I feel like we have to do like some really, really good ones.
And in the new year, we're going to have to start trying to pull the audience again. But the last couple months have been so bad, I don't even want to subject anybody's opinions. But on a more positive, more uplifting, maybe. I wanted to talk about where this movie ranks and what we've done so far. It's the end of the year. We've done 1, 2, 3. This is our fifth episode? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Yes. Woohoo, I counted right.
Oh, 5 episodes. That's
great.
This
is our 5th episode in our 6th movie because we have the Lost episode. I wanted to figure out kind of where this ranked as we kind of close out the first year that we've been around. It's not full year, but like the year that we started. And go from there. And so, what's the worst movie we talked about? Was it this one? It might be.
Actually, I think so. Yeah. Because as much as I hated The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, like that was at least entertaining. Mm-hmm. Like there was so much to it aside from Nick Cage that I could... I didn't.
There's also Mandy.
Hate
you
it.
Really hated Mandy.
I did hate Mandy, but again, at least there was something,
there
to,
is
it.
Something to it.
Like visually, we talked about
the
visual.
Yeah, the visuals were really, really
very
cool.
Fucking cool. I think this is the worst movie.
Okay, I think I'm because
Ghost Rider was hilariously bad. Mm-hmm. Like it was so stupid.
So like we did the 2 Ghost Rider movies, right?
Yeah.
And Ghost Rider 2 was significantly better than 1, but doesn't mean it was good.
Yeah. The Lost
Ghost Rider
episode.
1 is bad, but there's some fun in the bad.
Yeah.
Mandy has some great visuals. An Unbearable Weight I love and you didn't love, but admittedly...
Pedro Pascal was in it.
Right, and it wasn't a bad movie so much as like you just didn't like Nick in it. Basically.
No, he sucked, but Pedro Pascal was in it, so I was fine. And then Con Air's
great.
Fucking
amazing. Other than his ridiculous voice,
so
the rest
stupid.
Of the movie is fantastic.
It's a banger. It's so fucking good. It's amazing. Yeah, this is probably the worst... Cage movie we've done.
So we have agreement this is the worst and Con Air is the best.
Yeah.
I'd say that probably the second then is probably Unbearable Weight.
Yeah, I would agree.
And then we go like Ghost Rider 2, Ghost Rider 1, Mandy. Or maybe Mandy's between the Ghost Riders. I don't know.
No, I think Mandy's closer to the bottom for me.
Okay.
Like visually it's great, but like the storyline is terrible. The dialogue's terrible.
So I think we probably agree in this regard then. If we go... Best to worst, we're going Con Air, Unbearable Weight, Ghost Rider 2, Ghost Rider 1, Mandy, Trapped in Paradise.
Are we agreeing?
I think we are, but it's not that we necessarily agree on the movies, like what we thought of them. We just agree on which one's the worst and which one's the best. And
we're growing. I think we're growing.
And I don't know that we either of us have strong opinions about the ones in the middle, so that's probably
really.
Why it's kind of okay.
Yeah.
But, well.
It's too easy.
Hopefully we pick a good movie for next month. We could go with that old way, or we could go with something that we know is a banger. I think maybe we should just go with something we know is a banger.
It has to be a banger. I need substance. Even if it's fucking horrible. Like, even if something about Nick Cage is, like, the worst in it, but it's a good plot line, I need something.
So, like, I know that you and I both agree that Kick-Ass is a wonderful movie.
I love Kick-Ass.
The only problem is, like, it's not a Nick Cage movie.
Yeah,
I like I do want to get to it. But
yeah, we definitely
I want
to
stick
to
more with a movie that's like him.
Yeah,
him.
We need a classic Cage movie that has a good storyline.
So I'm gonna propose that we go Wild at Heart.
Wild at Heart. All right.
It's an old David Lynch movie. It's him. And
is
Helen
that the
Hunt.
One with the leather jacket that he's reference to
Nikki?
Okay, Nikki.
When they're talking about the young him,
Nikki.
So I think I think we go with that. It's a fun one. I think, and it's, I don't know how much David Lynch you're familiar with. Like, have you seen Twin Peaks?
I love Twin Peaks.
Okay. So it's got a lot of that weird Lynchian melodrama.
I'm into that.
And it's fun. So,
yeah.
So I think you'll appreciate it. If nothing else, there's definitely going to be some laughing at Nick, which is
which
good.
I'm down.
Yeah. Which I know you're down with. So
I'm just
think we go
looking
that
for
direction.
Some substance.
Okay, so I think we've decided a movie. We've kind of got our ranks. This is not Nick Cage related, but before we go, I think it's the end of the year. So I wanted to ask you, what are some of the favorite movies that you've seen this year? Do you have any in mind?
Oh, my God. The Menu?
So I still haven't seen The Menu.
Yeah, I think we talked about it last time. It
we
was
might have, yeah.
Like, I keep thinking about that movie. I can't stop thinking about it.
I need to get on that.
It's really good. It's really excellent. It is unexpected, and it's like so well done.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
So I think my favorite movie of the year is probably Nope. I really love Nope.
I haven't seen Nope.
I love Jordan Peele.
I have
period.
To see it.
Like,
yeah.
I love all of his movies. This is like he did from his first movie to his second to now this one. They're all wildly different, but they all still have like a very similar sensibility in a lot of ways. And he's very much strongly puts forth like main characters of color and trying to like that's a big thing for him. Even though people say that means he hates white people. I love the people that are like anti-woke on the internet. Like, oh, well, he just hates white people. Yeah, his mom's a white and he's married to a white lady. But sure, he hates white people. But no.
Also, I guess I might be in the minority in this, but like I don't get mad when somebody's like, oh, I hate white people. I'm like, yeah, I get it, man.
Yeah, no, I kind of get it, too.
Yeah, I'm right there
with
you.
But even if I didn't get it, like, there's nothing about Jordan Peele that actually says to me he hates white people.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm just saying. Even if he did, I'd be like, all right, cool. I understand.
I get it, yeah. So that's probably my favorite. I mean, I love a lot of movies. I watch a lot of movies. I really, really enjoyed the new Scream. I love X and Pearl, but I'm more of an X fan than Pearl. I don't know if you saw either of those yet, but X is interesting because it's basically like it's a horror movie that takes place with a group of people making a porno. So that's entertaining. In that golden age-ish, like it's supposed to be like, I want to say like early 80s, late
70s. Oh, yeah. The good old days of porn.
Yeah, the good old days of porn.
I can't remember any other movies that I've seen this year. It's like when somebody's like, what's your favorite band? And you're like, I forgot every band that I've ever listened to.
The other question, and this is not necessarily, is I also, didn't you discover any older movies that you saw for the first time this year? I think last time you mentioned seeing The Gate for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Festival, and you really
liked
that a lot.
The Gate was great.
Yeah.
I forget. Oh, so we saw Alien at the drive-in.
I had never seen it. Wow.
Remember? Yeah, and I thought it was such an excellent film.
It is.
It was so good. The only thing I didn't like about it is like when they woke up and they're all just like chain smoking cigarettes in space. I'm like, I don't think that's a thing that they can do scientifically.
Yeah, but probably not.
It was such a good movie, though. It was like that classic suspension kind of sci-fi world. I loved it. It was so good. What other movie did we see at the drive-in? Oh, fuck, I can't remember. We saw another one at the drive-in, but there were a couple, you know, since you and Loki and Raven are my friends, they exposed me to a lot of really great movies that I've never seen before. Because like I said, I'm catching up.
No, that's okay.
From like 1942.
I think Alien's about as good a selection as you can make regard. Gosh, I'm trying to think of like, so I saw 70s exploitation movie Sugar Cookies for the first time this year, which I thought was really interesting, but I don't know that it's like a favorite of mine, but I really thought it was interesting. I watched some cool old documentaries, but ultimately, I can't think of a specific standout in that regard. You know what movie I saw for the first time this year was really cool? It's 1989's Communion, which is a weird, weird, weird Christopher Walken sci-fi horror. Super weird. That might be my favorite discovery of the year for an old movie. So, and also, I saw it around the same time I saw Nope, so I was kind of in a weird alien thing, sci-fi thing going on. So, so, you know, end of the year, figured we'd plug a couple movies, but that's really it. I just hope that next year we can watch some Nick Cage movies that don't suck.
I have to say something before we go off to our most loyal fan, my sister Jessica, who has
listened
to every single episode. She just passed all of her tests and got into nursing school.
Yo, that's
and
awesome.
I'm very excited for her. I want to give her a shout out for supporting us because she listens to us all the time on the way from work. And awesome. I love it.
Well, Jessica, congratulations.
Which I had no idea. She just told me that today. She's like, oh, I'll listen to your new podcast on my way home. And I'm like, oh, you've been listening to them? She's like, I listen to every single one of them.
Aww.
Is that sweet?
That is sweet.
So nice.
My wife is like, don't play me your podcast.
Yeah. Clown Baby's like, nope. I listen to the both of you yell at each other all the time. I don't want to hear it again.
Right. It's funny. When my first podcast was just me interviewing all types of random people. Mm-hmm. And like I'd have to be like, oh, hon, I want you to listen to this one because I think this guest would be somebody you'd really think is cool.
Yeah.
But I always have to like make a point to, oh, this is the one you should check out.
Yeah.
But like, she's not going to listen to you and me argue about Nick Cage movies. She's probably not going to ever listen to my other podcast because that's about wrestlers and movies and, you know.
She loves wrestlers in movies.
She doesn't hate them. She likes wrestling enough.
We should,
you know,
turn this podcast into a talk shit on your wife podcast and see how long it takes her to listen and catch on.
Hey,
like that stupid, beautiful bitch.
You know how she'll learn about it when somebody else on the Derby team mentions it to her.
Oh yeah,
that's how it'll.
Yeah,
find
we do
out.
Have a couple.
We have
Derby
a couple listeners,
loyalists.
Yeah. So,
God damn it.
So everybody, thank you so much for listening to us.
Yeah, thanks.
We promised that we're going to have some better movies next time.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow. Well, I know I'm at least going to love next month's movie. So if you want to watch along, you can. And otherwise, thanks for sticking with us for these first five episodes over 8 months or so. Something like that. But we're going to do one a month moving forward. We're going to do it.
Yeah, damn it.
All right. So thanks again, guys, and have a wonderful holiday season.
Bye.
I know how your mind works. You know exactly what you're doing, and the whole time you stand there with this "who me" expression on your face.